Matthew chapter 4. We have three temptations listed by Matthew and by Luke. Mark doesn't mention any of the details, just that there was a temptation time of 40 days. And that he was 40 days in the wilderness being tempted says there was a lot of temptations beyond those three. And I don't doubt that at all. In the Hebrews, it tells us he has been tempted in every way like us, yet without sin. That gives me confidence. And that scripture goes on to say he can meet me at my need. He can meet me and be my savior from that. Anyway, the temptations. We've looked at two of them last week in verse 3 of chapter 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, because he had been without eating for 40 days. Satan came and said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. That met a real need. It was obvious that it hit him where it hurts. Yeah, I'm hungry. And he said, it is written, so he's quoting scripture, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. I take this to also mean, and there's a definite implication, that God is sustaining him. It is not his Father's will that he does this. Not that he is unable to do it. He didn't, because it was not set up by God to do. The next temptation comes. The devil takes him into a holy city, verse 5. Had him stand on the pinnacle of the temples, the highest part, and said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. And then the devil quotes from Psalm 91. For it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. But Jesus again met him with scripture, but at the heart of it, at the foundation of it, he met him where it really mattered. And he said, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. For him to do that would have been saying, okay, God, prove yourself. Prove yourself. And Jesus, again, I think underlined, highlighted what it was really about and saying, no, that's not what you do in a relationship with God. This next temptation that we get into has, I think, two different maybe aspects of it. Verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And their glory really does matter in this particular temptation. And he said, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. This third temptation is based on Satan, I believe, putting all that he has to offer on the line. The first aspect of it, it absolutely appeals to the flesh of any man, that he would be over all other mankind and thus derive full benefit from all of the nations, all of the people. Everything you could ever lust after, everything you could ever covet, it's yours. For a long time, I questioned whether it was Satan's to give. And I've said that right here. But passages like John 12:31, where Jesus said, the ruler of this world is coming, he has nothing to do with me. Also, the ruler of this world in John 14, the ruler of this world in John 16. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's called the God of this world. Look at 1 John 5:19. Is it Satan's to give is the question. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Wow. Maybe we can see or say that it was his to give. Revelation chapter 13. You'll remember this not that long ago in our Tacoma Bible Church world. Revelation 13, 2. Here comes the beast. Coming up out of the sea, verse 1. In verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, defined in Revelation twice as the devil, Satan himself, the dragon gave him, the beast, his power and his throne and his great authority. You follow that context down through verse 7. We're not going to right now. You can do that on your own. But it appears to me like it was the devil's to give away. But that leads me to the next question, becomes obvious to me. Would he have followed through with his word?
Of course not. He's a liar.
How do you know that? John 8:44. He is a liar and the father of lies. Okay, let's come back to the second aspect of this temptation.
Sorry, just a question. Where is the verse that says we are in the world but not of it?
There isn't a verse that you're going to find that is quoted in that way.
Okay.
John 17 would certainly use wording that would lead us to believe that. Okay, sure, I would definitely be able to pull that in. First aspect of this temptation, just fall down and worship me and I will give you all of the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. Aspect number one, the appeal to the lust of the flesh. The second aspect of this, I don't think I caught for a long time. Jesus will be in the position of ruling over all nations as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, but at the right time. You see, in Revelation chapter 11, the praise that is seen there, because you've taken your power and you've begun to reign like this. It will be happening, but at the right time and in the right way. Satan knows the words of prophecy about Jesus, the Son of God. I believe his tactic was to get him to jump the gun, which is a racing term, of course, so as to be disqualified. Satan offering, right now, I can give it to you. And Jesus answered the temptation. Let's go back to Matthew. Read the scripture that he quotes. Verse 10, chapter 4. Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It wasn't about negotiating about the world and its kingdoms and its glory. That had nothing to do with it. He hit it absolutely where it is. Worship the Lord your God only, because that is the very thing that Satan said. Just do this and then I will give that to you. Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil left him. And then created beings, the angels, came and ministered to their creator. The angels came and began to minister to him. What was that like? He was absolutely in his humanness. He was in his body. What did they do? We do not know. But they came and they were ministering to the one that had created them.
Yeah, on my verse, it's the same wording, but they italicized "began." So they left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Is there supposed to be special meaning to that word?
No. When it's in italics, it is always the fact that this is implied in the Greek language, but the wording isn't there. So it's to make it flow easier for you and for me. It's a tool.
Okay.
That's what italics means. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a tool for you to use. It may well be in the text in the implication of the other words.
Okay?
I would like to go over to Luke chapter 4. Please turn there with me. Luke, who did his homework, gives us the temptations. The second two, he switches the order, and I don't really have any deal to make out of that. They're both there. I follow Matthew's account just because it seems like after that third temptation was the "be gone, Satan," and he left. Luke includes all three. Let's go to verse 3. Luke 4 and verse 3. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish." If he is telling the truth there, that's kind of scary. Yet at the same time, Daniel seems to agree with that. When Michael, the archangel of Israel, is doing battle with the prince of Persia, that's not a human being, that's an entity over, and that the prince of Greece is coming. It appears that way. And then the rulers that are set in motion, there's not really a reason for me to make a big deal of this right now, except that it's stated, and it may in fact be that, but as we're going to look at next hour, it is not outside of God's whole jurisdiction sovereignly. And that's what we always, always, always need to bear in mind. "Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours." Verse 8, Jesus answered and said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." We dealt with that last week from Matthew's account. And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." I wanted to read Luke's account for the next verse. "And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until what?
Next opportunity.
Opportune time.
Until an opportune time. It tells me he wasn't done, right? I mean, that's obvious as obvious. Please open your Bible to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 21. "From that time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid it, Lord, that this shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" Satan means adversary. I do not believe in any stretch of my imagination that Jesus is calling Peter names here. happens upon the name Satan, but rather the one who is behind that. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me if you are not setting your mind, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's. And how many other temptations, we can use our imagination, there's not others that are really listed like this in the Gospels. He does refer to Satan. He does refer to the devil. And as you bring all of the different things that Jesus experiences, you can imagine the various temptations that would come. I don't see Satan's name on the page. But when he was in the garden, when he was saying, "My soul is grieved even to the point of death. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet your will be done, not mine." Is that a temptation that's seated right in there? It's got to be. It's got to be. How many others? And that would have been the heavy duty one, the last one. Would have been a temptation, as Jesus said, nearing the time of the cross. I think it was to Pilate. May have been to his own disciples. "Don't you know that I could call to my Father and he would give 12 legions of angels? It's not about fighting a fight here." Temptations. I can just sense it right there. Though it's not listed as such. You follow what I'm saying? And he went on through to the end. Okay. So just for the fun of it, I'm going to put off the next portion of this teaching since we're out of time. It will be a kind of, it'll stand on its own. With this background, it'll be helpful. We'll refer back to some of this stuff. But I do want to look a little deeper into the types of temptations that come, primarily three that narrow down to one. So any questions or interaction about what we've gone over this morning? Okay, Dave?
Yeah, as you're teaching through this in Matthew, and my mind was going to three gateways that temptation will take to make its appeal to us. The lust of the flesh.
That's exactly where we're going next week.
All right, I'll stop.
Elizabeth?
Oh, I believe that all the time Jesus was talking about his kingdom, that the kingdom of God has come near you, that, you know, I came to, and even in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And to me, it just seems like there was a pretty obvious distinction between the kingdom of this world and what Satan was powered over, because first Adam gave it to him. But the kingdom of God is like such a contrast. Right. Not that it wasn't a temptation, but the reality is that, yeah, men were in darkness in the kingdom of death, of the, you know, the devil ruled over because Adam gave it to him. But Jesus came to bring the kingdom, and so if he had obeyed or submitted or in any way relinquished who he already was, the king, to follow Satan, it was like, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, as we go into the rest of this next week, it does start getting pretty practical, I do believe.